Dave, we're live.
All right.
All right. Gentlemen,
in this thing.
Half an hour later, we are here. We are here with the Nine Circles audio thing, talking about an album that we're all very excited about. But before we tell you about said album, let's all introduce ourselves. I'm looking at the order of my Hangout screen. To my left, the fightin' Finn. The not fightin' Finn, because I'm pretty sure he works for the UN. Anton Santonen, a.k.a. Cyclonius. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
To his left, my right, Mr. Necrolytic Go Converter himself, Mr. Chris Voss.
Hello.
And to his left, my right, the man, the myth, the legend, the southern gentleman, that is Mr. I was trying to come up with something different and I had to go with gentleman. The southern gentleman, that is Mr. Josh Stewart.
Hello.
And finally,
last and very certainly least.
Last and most definitely not least, from from way out west, the Gilead Media cheerleader, that is.
It's true, though.
Vincent Martinek, how you doing, dude?
Indeed. I am doing just fine.
Good. And you guys all know me. I'm Dan. I'm the host, and I'm a couple beers deep. So a couple beers deep and a couple and about 35 minutes of technical issues deep. But gentlemen, we are here. We are here because there's an album coming out this weekend that we're all very excited about. And rather than try and get into fisticuffs trying to decide who would get the review, we wanted to do it together. And that album is none other than Couch Slut's second full length, Contempt. It's out on Gilead Media. They previously were on Handshake Inc. Couch Slut, the Brooklyn, what would you call them?
Don't call them not a metal band.
Right. They are noisy. They are aggressive. They're certainly metallic. They are, I don't know. They're just a
abrasive.
Giant sonic punch to the face, I think, is the best way to describe it.
And yet they are still somehow ineligible for Metal Archives, which is beyond me.
Well,
yeah. If anybody from Metal Archives is listening, fie and shame on you.
How dare you? How dare you?
Well, Metal Archives just got Napalm Death like last year. They just decided
that
grindcore was worth it and decided to include grindcore. So like they're perpetually behind the times. Couch Slut. It's out this Friday on Gilead Media. Obviously, a band we're super into and a label I think we're all pretty into as well. Gilead's done some amazing stuff. Vince, I know you're into it.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me a G. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I'll take the cheerleader title and run with it for sure. Like Adam has consistently put out like the best music for years and years now, and I would be stupid to not be on board with that.
No, absolutely. Great label. So we have all had this thing for what? Josh, when did you send it to us? It was about a month ago, right?
Yeah, probably about a month or so ago.
So we've had some time with it. I will admit I didn't get to it in earnest until like a week and a half ago because I was frantically trying to write about Atheist for 2 months, which I eventually did. But we've had a month with it. It's obviously super anticipated. They had some exposure on NPR. NPR streamed Company Picnic with
I saw that. That
Company
great.
Picnic
yeah,
with so,
like it's gotten some it's made some noise. It's gotten some hype behind it. What do we all think of it? I don't know who wants to start. Slut's Contempt.
Since I got a dip here in just a few minutes.
Josh, start with you.
Yeah. I like it, actually. I like it. The first half is kind of more noise rock, but the second half is what gets me. That's where they get down and dirty. And really, to me, a good noise metal, noise rock, whatever album kind of makes you it should make you feel like when you get done listening to it, you need to go take a bath. Go wash off, go clean up some.
And you definitely get that with this one.
Yeah, and that absolutely, particularly with that closer, Won't Come. That's that one is just crazy.
It's kind of filthy.
Yes, very. Yeah. Very. But that's the way it should be.
Yes.
With what this is. And I know Chris and I talked about this a while back, that that, you know, Megan's still Megan and she's still great, but the band has come a long way since last time.
Definitely. Definitely. And I mean, I don't know how extensively they've toured. Have you seen them down your way? Have they come down your way?
No, supposedly they're going to, but I have not seen any mention of it lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned the sort of the, I guess, the kind of a gap between Megan and the rest of the band. And, obviously, like not. I don't mean to discredit any of the guys in the band, but when you see them live, what I'm getting at with this is like Megan is very much the focal point. She's out in the crowd. She's shoving people. She's like starting her own. She's like doing a wall of death with herself. It's like all over the place. It is mayhem. Absolute mayhem.
You guys have all pretty much experienced that firsthand, and I've only heard stories about this stuff.
Yeah, I've had to rely on stories too.
Boss, I think that was when we first met. Yeah, that was that was Couch Slut, Tombs, False, not False.
And Noah, Yellow Eyes.
Yeah. Yellow Eyes, yeah.
It was a phenomenal show. And that's, I mean, I think that's entirely, the live experience is something completely other, right? I mean, she is very much a force of nature. But to kind of lead off with what Josh said, the first thing that struck me about Contempt was, holy crap, the band owns this album. Megan is still, you know, fantastic in front and center. I think from a front person perspective, she brings a presence even on the album that I think few bands can do. But the stars of Contempt to me are the band. The first two tracks in particular are the best music they've done, bar none. And while for me, I don't think it's a great album. I think it has some highs and it has some lows. It has some spots that I don't want to say don't work, but for me kind of drag a little bit. But as Josh said, when it comes right back to Won't Come, which is such a huge, powerful closer, I put this above the first album just in terms of sheer musicality. The things these guys do just on Funeral Dyke alone is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would extend that. I think you'd have to throw in Penalty Scar. I think from Funeral Dyke through Penalty Scar, this thing is just unfuckwithable. It's everything is going like clockwork. I mean, these are, you know, where the first album felt like just sudden outbursts of rage, of yelling at the world, of whatever Megan was doing to, however she would want to describe it, to, you know, just to tell these stories and to, you know, just get these, you know, this stress, this weight off her back from the world. These feel like more calculated, precise, just I guess indictments of those kinds of conditions. They just feel so much more put together than anything on the first album, I think. And that's not to say that My Life as a Woman wasn't great. I just think it's a testament to these three songs. Like these three that kick the album off, that kick Contempt off, are just incredible.
I would even think, I think I'd even extend that further. Like Snake in the Grass is, I think, my favorite song off of the album, just because it has like, it's
that middle section
where they bring in that big, huge kind of melody is like, I think I came into this sort of in an odd position because I know the least about noise rock out of like, I think the people who work here, like I've had some, I'm from Chicago originally, so I've had exposure to like all the Albini projects. Like I've listened to like Big Black and McCluskey a little bit when I was in high school, but it's never been something that I've really kept up with a lot. So I wasn't sure when somebody says noise rock, I'm never really sure what to like expect from what I'm going to hear. But when I imagine what I think noise rock sounds like, it's Contempt. It sounds like you are being dragged across like a big gravelly parking lot. And like Josh said, it makes you feel like you have to take a bath once you're done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And it's funny, you know, like that explanation, like thinking of it in those terms, it kind of makes me appreciate it a little more. Cause I, you know, I was, I had a different opinion. I kind of thought it did kind of lose me after those first three songs, and I don't want to say I don't want to say it lost me. That's not the right wording. For me, there was just a drop off. Like, it didn't hold me quite as firmly as those first three did. And you know, that's not to say Snake in the Grass isn't a great song. That's not to say, you know, like Won't Come or Folk Song aren't great. They didn't do it for me quite like those first three had. But you know, hearing that kind of interpretation of it as a noise album, I'm like, oh, you're kind of onto something there.
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, it's very much a metal album too. Like, especially like Josh said, the back half of it, that's all like sludge and like doom.
Right.
Especially Won't Come. Won't Come's almost like a funeral doom song to me. That was the first thing that I thought of when I listened to it. But I think specifically I like Snake in the Grass for the contrast that it brings. Like, it's sort of like, it gives you like a really nice counterpoint to the ugliness of like all the rest of the album that I wasn't expecting when I came into it. And so I think that's why it sort of hit me the hardest.
Anton, you've been quiet over there. You ready to do some?
It's fascinating. I mean, to me, whatever this genre is generally called, noise rock, noise core, noise metal, noise whatever, I mean, to me, it has always been monotonous and dull and oftentimes a boring chug fest. But I mean, Couchlet avoids that pitfall in my ears and mind by just peppering the music with all these fascinating curveballs, whether it's strange instruments or changing direction in surprising ways without feeling contrived. I mean, my favorite songs are probably Funeral Dyke and Penalty Scar, because they both have that confident stomp, that kind of pounding, stomping creep that they give you. I mean, especially with Funeral Dyke, going back to those strange instruments, the whole saxophone skronking during the intro gives the impression that, oh god, we're heading into something very dissonant and artsy, but then it just right out the gates, it's just like blast fest, just kicks you in the face. And then when the saxophone briefly reappears at the midpoint of that song, to me it all makes perfect beautiful sense. And I mean, but the highlight of the album to me is probably Megan's opening scream on Funeral Dyke. That friggin' blood-curdling scream of anguish and anger that you can almost hear and see her vocal cords just fraying. So that's what I really, really love it. And probably my appreciation of the album is heightened by the fact that I think I never heard them before until seeing them recently live. So I knew that it's this kind of visceral, very just sweaty, dirty experience. And what I also really appreciate about it is that this feels real, like a gut-wrenching experience that someone has lived through, rather than some adolescent escapist metal fantasy or run-of-the-mill stuff. So to me, it's not abstraction, but something tangible and too real.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. And that's a great image. That's a great image that you gave of seeing her vocal cords and everything on that scream during Funeral
Day. Yeah.
I can feel you there. For me, I think my favorite part of the album, and it's just kind of the icing on the cake of a very kind of apocalyptic sounding song, Penalty Scar, toward the very end where they bring their church bells in. Yeah.
The church bells.
Oh my God. It's like the end of the damn world, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I want to step in. Like
the stompinest song on the album.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. I want to step in real quick. Josh, I'm so sorry, dude, you got to hit the road. Any final thoughts before you peace out?
I hope everybody that liked the first album gives this one a shot, because I really think they'll dig it even more so than the first one. I know I do. And I was a huge fan of the debut, but even bigger one of this one. I mean, it's got, it's the whole, it's the whole everything together. It just all fit, and it's really good, really good.
Yes, sir. All righty. Well, hey, my apologies again for our technical issues, and glad you got to stay for as long as you could.
Absolutely. And,
great. It was great having you on, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, take care. See y'all.
All righty. Bye bye. So, I mean, the next, I feel like the next kind of, the next thing I want to say is like, how much sense does this album make coming out on Gilead? I feel like it's kind of the perfect Gilead Media record in terms of what Adam has been doing, like what that label stands for, just the kind of darkness that they, you know, trade in. It's just, it's like a perfect pairing, I feel like.
It definitely is. And I think that's, you know, you're right. It makes perfect sense, I think, for it to come out on a label who's, you know, operating under the slogan, difficult music for difficult people. That's one of the things that I really enjoy is how diverse sort of the roster of like the Gilead Media associated bands are. You know, he put out a noise rock album from a different band, like just earlier this year. It was that Buildings album. It's a different kind of noise rock, to be completely sure, but like it's difficult music, and that's, you know, that's what Contempt is. It's very, very difficult to listen to for a lot of different reasons, but I think that anybody who pays attention to the stuff that Adam is doing will get it like immediately.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's the interesting thing about Gilead is that, and I may not position myself as the champion that Vincent does, but
I love that this is the legacy that's going to follow me to my grave.
I say that having loved that Buildings album is fantastic, but
it is. It's very good.
Even when I don't like the albums that they put out, and it's a rare occurrence that something just doesn't stick with me, I'm always intrigued by what's put out. You can always see, oh, I see why Adam picked this, why this is something that has caught his ear and something that he wants to promote and champion, because it is difficult. It has a point of view. And I think that's where Couch Slut really pays off. There is a sincerity and there's a viewpoint that is so razor sharp and so clear in the delivery that you can't help like it or hate it to be invested in it, you know, which is so important for a record, for something like this that has the arc it has. And I'll err more toward Vincent's side. I'll go right up to Snake in the Grass because of how great that middle section is. It does kind of, the beginning is kind of, that's when I start to kind of fade off. But when you hit that majestic kind of ringing middle section, it just blasts my mind. And then to have that arc from Funeral Dyke, which is to Anton's point, you have that sax which kind of introduces this, what's it going to be, but then you have these beautiful almost jazz like descending chords. Their chord structure is so tight. You go through this huge journey and then to arc and end on Won't Come with that, for those who haven't heard it or are going to hear it in a week, the ending of Won't Come is just this. It's something that has not happened on a Couch Slut album before. It's a huge revelation, and it brings the entire thing full circle. So you can easily see, I mean, this is going to perk anybody's interest, but it fits so perfectly for what Gilead has done and what they've tried to do over the last couple of years in particular.
Absolutely. I kind of wonder, you talk about like different, you talk about the end of Won't Come as something that has never happened on a Couch Slut record before. And you're absolutely right on that. I mean, I wonder, just where the change in songwriting approach has come from, where they've picked up. Have they has it come from other bands they've played with? Has it come from, you know, I've read interviews with the two Kevins talking about, Kevin Wunderlich, I think, didn't he say he was, he studied like jazz and stuff. His background is in jazz. It's cool.
Yeah.
Just all these different possible influences that, can come into play and have done so just so wonderfully there.
I mean, you know that if you make music or, you know, are involved in music at all, it's hard. There are influences that you kind of wear on your sleeve, but the reality is that influences, I mean, every single thing can be an influence, whether it's music or otherwise, right? It could be something visual, it could be something, you know, more auditory in nature. But, you know, these are just two, it just seems like, particularly with this album, I think we mentioned it earlier, whereas the first album seemed, at least to me, like the band supporting this massive, you know, force of nature, right? That is Megan. I think this time it's there is a collective, whether you want to call it a collective rage or a collective direction, where the band is just as focused on giving their voice as serving up a foundation for Megan to give her voice. And it, you know, when you have that kind of synergy, there's going to be influences coming from everywhere. It's a maelstrom of influences kind of hitting up, and it just hits me. It hits me in a great spot. I mean, those first four are just, to me, they're unfuckwithable. you know, Summer Smiles and Folk Song, we didn't really talk too much about them. They really hit that kind of doom sludge, Vincent said, Mark, and I do kind of ebb up a little bit. I wonder how much of that is also just due to the intensity of the first four tracks, right? I mean, how much viscera do you have to give over the course of 45 minutes where you're going to get a little exhausted and sweat it out?
Yeah.
Track right. Five, track six, you know?
I mean, there might be people who are sort of upset that there's like two distinct sides to the album, where it's like the fast-paced side and the slow-paced side. But again, it's just one of the things that I really enjoy about Contempt is just how many contrasts it manages to bring together. Like, you know, the like fist in the mouth pummeling of Penalty Scar versus Snake in the Grass, which, you know, we've gone over that. And then it's, you know, the intensity of like the first four or five tracks versus the trudging of the last couple. And it's, you know, they managed to do it, to bring it together in a way that doesn't feel like it's this split dichotomy. It just sounds like Couch Slut. And I think Anton said that there was like a confidence that was on this album. And that's, I think, what really sells it for me, is that everybody is on the same page.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the two sides and the two feels. I think I how do I want to say this? I respect the arc of it, as Chris put it. I think the second half, you know, I mentioned earlier, it does kind of lose me a little bit. It's more down to my personal tastes. I think I'm not much of a doom guy, but you know, just going overall, you know, like just, you know, setting my tastes aside and looking at the picture and what they've done and how they've come together as a band and put this thing out. I mean, it is still pretty respectable. I mean, I you know, admire the heck out of them for the leap they've taken. I think it is still, I do still enjoy it more than, you know, more than My Life as a Woman. You know, I think it's very clearly a step forward from that.
I wonder if a different track order would have made a difference, or whether it's, I think it's beautifully deliberate also, in a way that you get the pummeling, mm-hmm. you get your nose punched in, your teeth kicked in, and your kneecaps blow to pieces with Sledgehammer, and then you're dragged to this bottomless dark pit. I mean, in my notes,
where on, you bleed out at the bottom.
Yeah,
exactly. Because in my notes about on Won't Come, I just had the impression that it sounds like someone's howling at the house, or echoing from the bottom of the well, where you're dumping this corpse that you pummel to pieces during the course of the album. So in a way, it makes beautiful, philosophical, visceral sense.
Yeah.
I mean, normally I would be somebody who would argue for the same thing too. But, you know, I've thought about it. You know, I like a little bit more like variety and sort of ebb and flow versus like one thing and then into another thing. But I don't think that the album would have worked as well as it did for me if it didn't offer that contrast between like the two sort of sides of it. It's uncharacteristic that I would go for that, but it works in this case.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have worked as well if it was rearranged, sort of.
You can always like play, you know, I'm about to bring in shoot me Anton. I'm about to bring in a very non-metal album here, but I remember
poser.
No, but I think back. One of my favorite albums is U2's The Joshua Tree, and I remember reading like they had 100 different combinations of ways they wanted to end that album, like. Mm. They ended up going with the song called Exit as the second last, even though a song called Exit would make sense as the last track. And you can, it's the kind of thing. It's like you can play around with it in your head and you can try these different combinations out. But the one that, the one that comes out is obviously it's working. It's doing its job. So.
Well, anyway, look, before anybody gangs up on Dan, I will stand by you, sir, proudly. That is a brilliant album.
Thank you. There is a palpable silence there when I brought you to.
I want to stress, since this is my first time having my voice recorded for the website, I'm not the kind of guy who throws around poser at people. I am not that kind of person. I don't ever want to be that kind of person.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
I like the slam demo that you two did back in the day, but after that it was all downhill.
Anything else standing out to people that we want to talk about with Contempt here? Any final thoughts on the album? Just on the album, on its, you know, where it stacks up with what you've listened to so far this year, anything like that?
In terms of where it stacks up, I think I still need to kind of gel with it a little more before I can release. I haven't really started organizing any sort of list for something like that. Maybe that makes me like behind the times, but I don't know. If I organize anything, it'll just get shifted around later. So I'm trying to keep that toward more the end of the year when I have like sat with things for months instead of sat with things for weeks. But it is certainly up there. It is one of the most memorable albums I have listened to. It is not something that you forget easily.
Certainly not. Chris, Anton,
go ahead.
Want to go first, Chris? I can go first then, yeah. I mean, yeah, like I implied earlier on, this is not my go-to genre. So in that regard, I was already positively surprised and satisfied by it. So yeah. So I really like it. So, and it really sticks out in a positive way, like a ice pick in your eye among the music that I've been listening to in the past 6 months. So yeah, I'm going to savor and treasure this record, and I would really encourage everyone to buy this and get naked while listening to it, then rolling in rolling in broken glass and contemplating the important things about life, I guess.
that's going to be the top line marketing blurb.
That's a very colorful imagery coming out of you tonight. You're the one that's always talking about pickaxes and dying in a well and shit.
Anton, yeah. You're officially the Peter Travers of second tier metal blogs.
So wait, let me just make sure I'm clear. Do I get naked first, then roll in glass? Do I roll in glass first before? I just want to make sure that I'm doing this right the next time I listen to it.
Whatever rocks your boat.
I think for me, even though we've had it for a month, it's still somewhat fresh. I think if nothing else, the thing I can say right now for me is that Funeral Dyke is probably one of the best songs I've heard this year, just bar none. It's such a great opener. So that's been carrying with me a lot this entire month that I've been listening to it. As far as where it stands, it's a great album, and that might not mean that it's going to make my list or not make my list. Lists are so subjective anyway. That's the whole point of them. But regardless of what happens, it's a huge album that I think people need to listen to and people need to be exposed to just for what it tries to do. I mean, not only for the content and for what Megan delivers from a live performance, but just, I mean, musically, this is just a kick-ass album. So whatever happens, people need to kind of check this out and support it. And then in a couple months time, we'll see, you know, where it kind of still stands. But right now, man, I can listen to Funeral Dyke every day. I just don't get tired of what that song accomplishes.
I'm with you there. I think the trouble I've had with a lot of metal this year, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm getting burnt out or what, but a lot of it has just not, a lot of what I've listened to has just not stuck with me. And you know, like I'll listen to an album and I'll play it. And as long as I have it in my playlist rotation on Spotify, it's there. But then as soon as I move it to my folder, it's, you know, I kind of forget about it. And that's been 90% of what I've listened to this year. I haven't had that happen yet. Funeral Dyke, Company Picnic with Dust Off, Penalty Scar, Won't Come. You know, like these are, despite, you know, any misgivings I had about, you know, like how it's really energetic and then it kind of loses me, like these are still memorable songs. And I think it's absolutely a step forward. I really, really like it. I don't know that I love it, but I really, really like it. And I think it's a great slab of ass kick, musical ass kick.
Musical ass kick.
Yeah. So that's the beer talking right there. But I full credit to them. They have held my attention and these songs in their dark, just disturbing ways have gotten stuck in my head. So
we can say this simply. I mean, it's enough of an album that five of us decided, rather than figure out who's going to write the review, let's get on a audio streaming podcasty thing and let's kind of hash it out. So that if nothing else speaks to what we think of the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were this many people who all wanted to like get their hands on this album that we were almost going to like fight over it.
Yeah.
I think that should speak enough about like whether or not you should give it a shot. You should give it a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You might not end up liking it, but you are going to come away from it a different person.
You definitely are. You definitely are. You know, although funny enough, I don't see Mr. Martinek. I don't see you sharing the wealth when it comes to the Yellow Eyes very much. I don't see that happening. But even though I'm pretty sure we're all pretty pumped for that one too.
If you can pry that album from my dead hands, I
okay, Charlton Heston.
No, we should.
Is that next month?
September, end of September.
I'm just saying, you know, this is not the technical difficulties aside.
Yeah.
I'm more than open to talk.
Yeah, now that we figured out how to do this.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm not going to be a Scrooge about it. If we want to all, you know, if we want to all do this again, I'd be very down. And the more people who listen to Yellow Eyes and especially Immersion Trench Reverie, the better, IMO.
Definitely. I'm kind of hoping, and they seem like they could be primed for one of the slots. Tomorrow morning, actually, or Monday morning, because this is going to be posting a little bit later this week. Monday morning is the next wave of Death Fest announcements. I'm kind of hoping Yellow Eyes sneaks in there one of those years. I think they would go over so well.
I'm surprised that they haven't, considering that they're fairly geographically close and they seem like they would fit in with the crowd a lot. You know, they keep booking these black metal bands from overseas and then having all these visa issues at the last minute. You know, why not get somebody local-ish, or at least from the same country?
Yeah.
And not for nothing, but I mean, live, that was one of the best black metal performances I've ever seen when I saw
Yellow Eyes. Absolutely. Live. They were one of the reasons I went to Migration Fest in the first place, because they have been like one of my favorite bands out of any genre of music for like as long as I've been listening to them. So, and they absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, Between the Vitus show and Migration last year, I was spoiled on Yellow Eyes, and they're good dudes too.
Very good.
Will is just he's a super nice guy. Mike Rekovic is in. I mean, you know, name a band in the greater New York area.
You know, also it's either him or it's Lev Weinstein.
Yeah, right. Also a great dude. So, I'm excited for this one. I'm pulling for something big. So, anyway,
I mean, it's real good, and that's just my like.
I can't wait for your review on it. That's it.
That's the whole thing right there. I just hit my hand 2 months early. That's all you're gonna get out of me.
Vince reviewing this Yellow Eyes album is like, I mean, it's like if Frank were to review the next Man of War album.
Exactly.
Like, it's like it's like the most in your element that a person can
be. Yeah, no, it's right in the wheelhouse for me. I think Josh posted that he had it, and it maybe took me like 5 seconds to be like, give it to me now.
Oh man. Well, good stuff, gentlemen. So now that we've moved on to Yellow Eyes, verdict on Couch Slut, Contempt, second album. It's a step forward. You should listen to it. It makes perfect sense for Gilead. It's another, you know, just awesome addition to their catalog. And it's an album that's about the full band now. Megan is a focal point. She's not the focal point anymore. The band is the focal point.
But that being the case, if you have the chance to see them live, oh dear Lord, see them live.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And wear a shirt and wear an outfit that you don't mind getting messy. pro tip, because yeah. Shit gets wild. So, alrighty. Well, we're gonna cut off the broadcast here. I mean, I guess, gentlemen, we can stay and chit chat for a bit after this. But for folks listening at home and all that nonsense, listening on their computer browsers because this is no longer a podcast feed. This has been Couch Slut Fun Time. Couch Slut Contempt is out this Friday, I believe. It's Friday. Yes.
7/28. Yes. Yeah.
On Gilead Media. You should check it out. It's worth your time. For Anton Sanson and Chris Voss, Vincent Martinek, and the departed but not forgotten Josh Stewart, I'm Dan Kaplan. Thank you for stopping by, and hopefully we'll get one of these again together again soon.